The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
Chiellini, the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM here on a Friday afternoon. Buster Olney, we'll talk some baseball with him around 1:30 as the 1 o'clock hour brought to you by AquaGuard. Notice mold and musty odors coming from your crawl space. We'll stay out of the crawl space and contact the crawl space experts at AquaGuard Foundation Solutions for your free inspection at AquaGuard.net. Some housekeeping, Domino, to take care of. Okay. I think I called him Jay Brooks because we were talking about Jay Pat. Of course, Josh Brooks is the AD over at Georgia. And we also talked about Son of a Woman. I guess it was a critical and box office hit.
Oh, good.
Chino won the Best Actor Oscar. The film was nominated for the Best Picture, won the Golden Globes, and so... Good. A lot of people did appreciate, fortunately, that picture, Scent of a Woman.
Yeah, I didn't even realize he won the Academy Award for that one. Rightfully so. I didn't know it made money. I thought that was one of those where people kind of know what it is, but, right, those movies that you just go, like Shawshank made no money coming out of the gate.
Over time, people start to appreciate it more.
How old do you have to be a cult classic?
10 years old?
I don't know. Maybe a little bit older, but... Shawshank might be, minutes watched, I don't even know if anybody keeps track of this, minutes watched, it's got to be one of the most watched movies in the history of moviedom.
Yeah, like Roadhouse is a cult classic.
Yeah.
It's not a box office hit, but everybody knows the movie because somehow, some way, it gained traction.
Well, because it was on every cable outlet and then every almost cable outlet and then almost every cable outlet. If you get enough run, but Shawshank is, I think everybody believes, oh yeah, I saw that in the movies. No, you didn't. No, you didn't, because, like, nobody did.
Yeah, a lot of people were watching, I would assume, last night.
I don't even know what
16.
That, what's the name mean? That's another thing. You know, I read this big article a couple of weeks ago about getting the name of a movie right.
Which movie, Shawshank?
Yeah, Shawshank Redemption makes no sense to people. There's no, what am I going to see? And they say at times that could really screw people up. Like, we're a dumb community.
We're not very smart.
John Wick is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
John Wick 2, John Wick 3. They put in words like Parabellum. I don't care about those. John Wick 1, which, by the way, it was just John Wick. It wasn't John Wick 1. They didn't know there was going to be
like
two.
Chicago. Their first, like, 10 albums were Chicago 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
Then
we
Hot
don't
Streets.
We don't know how long it's going to last.
Right. They put out Hot Streets, and it bombs. They put their own faces on the cover. It bombs.
They got away from what worked.
That's correct. So, anyway, I understand your point I'm saying. Last night, if you went to bed early, you missed a hell of a game. A hell of a closing.
Two of them.
Between Gonzaga. Well, you may have stayed up for that one, Michigan State.
I got to get my rest.
Kansas State. Then you got tired.
That game started at 6:30.
But Gonzaga does rally. I think it was to the day where UCLA rallied years ago past Gonzaga when Adam Morrison, the player of the year, was left crying on the court with that wispy mustache. Anyway, they almost do it again last night, but Gonzaga closes it out 79-76.
Do you want to let people hear it in case? I think we have a clip.
I tried my best to describe it.
Yeah.
But you're saying if you listen to this, it might make more sense.
Yeah, because if you went to bed, we could play the Michigan State one, but that game started at 6:30. That's on you.
Right.
You know,
this was the last game of the night, so perhaps you missed the way this thing ended. Maybe you did.
No, not at all, because you've also dominated the offensive glass. Chances are you'll get more than one opportunity.
Walter for the lead. Here comes Campbell. The other way. Stripped of the ball. Foul UCLA.
So then Strother goes to the free throw line, who just knocked down the three. He splits the free throws, and then UCLA hustles the ball back down the floor.
Couple of seconds.
And they launch one from the right wing, a long three that goes off the back of the rim. Almost tied the game up. The fact that they were in that position just adds to the bizarre ending of this game as Gonzaga does move on.
I do love when you have a crowded building in basketball. You know, football, most of them are open. It's just hard to... You hear that gasp when a guy pulls up for a long three that late and hits it. And the crazy part about Michigan State doesn't get a shot off. They got a shot off with about 2 seconds left, but they got stripped of the ball, which the possession before the foul, you can't get anything off. It's so demoralizing to play that type of basketball game. And you go, okay, if I miss a regular shot, if I, you know, that could happen. Both schools didn't get the shot they wanted.
Mick Cronin's UCLA's head coach, and let's just say he wasn't too pleased after the game.
Coach, opening statement.
I don't have one. My opening statement is it just took 33 minutes to get me in here, which is ridiculous.
I can't imagine how he would have reacted, you know, 6 minutes earlier, because he's still a race car in the red there.
Yeah, I think at about...
cooling off period for a reason.
I think at 17 minutes he started to count all the minutes. And again, it wasn't 30 minutes. He went with 33.
So to you, that's a masterclass in being passive-aggressive. This is just aggressive from Mick Cronin.
A lot of open shots, but didn't go down. There's no hindsight. Wide open shots, and multiple times we got fouled, no call. Dave and Tiger didn't make a basket in the second half. They had good looks. And Jaime got murdered on about four layups.
Oh, my goodness.
Murdered. Got murdered. Four times he got murdered. Dead.
He just threw two guys under the bus, letting the world know, again, they didn't have any points. Open looks, just no points.
They went 11 minutes without making a basket in the second half.
Well, that's how you lose.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you could win.
We were
losing. But it is how you could lose.
Because we were getting murdered, I tell you. They got out-rebounded 50-26 because we were getting murdered. They also let Drew Timmy score 36 points.
I mentioned Dustin Mays, who's at Florida Atlantic. Do you know the name Andy Enfield still?
Yeah, longtime coach.
Yeah, but he's at USC. What was his run to get him to USC? Do you remember the school?
It all runs together.
Florida
after a
Gulf
while.
Coast. Dusty Mays, that guy parlayed that into USC.
Well, there you go.
Dusty Mays, I think they said easily the lowest paid coach that was alive in the Sweet 16 is at some point going to be putting more money in his pocket.
And FAU is still alive. Gonzaga is going to play UConn tomorrow in Vegas. And the Huskies, this was never really a game. They led by as much as 29, and they move on. They've blown everybody out in this tournament thus far.
We got to mention Drew Timmy, because if you're wondering how long he's been there, do you know that is his 10th NCAA tournament game where he went for 20 points? That's an all-time record. You got to play in a bunch of games. You got to be around for a while. Normally, you don't have numbers like that and stick around for long enough to have 10 20-point games in the NCAA tournament. That's an all-time record.
And Mark Few looks like an undertaker, does he not?
I'm very sorry for your loss.
He's starting finally to age. He went a long time. He looked like an actor that was in, what was the show, 30-something? He looks like an actor, but he's finally starting to age. And you're saying that he basically looks like the man who wears the black suit, white shirt, all the time.
If there's anything your family needs, we've got... And when I grew up, we had Gattozzi's and DeSico's.
We had Salovers.
So you would have downstairs, you know, with the kids and everything else, you would have kind of like a place where you could have snacks and the kids can run around downstairs, which sounds kind of crazy in a funeral home, but that's the way it was.
I went to parties at the Salovers. Down the hall, in the backyard was a cemetery. Down the hall were the bodies. It was a nice, like, what a nice basement. Except when you realized, through that door, down that hall, guess what's going on back there?
Well, nothing.
It's a funeral home.
Yeah, but there's nothing going on.
Well, says you. I'm not so sure.
Nothing's
I didn't want to go back there. That was
I would go back there, but I mean, I don't think anything's going on.
Hello?
The snacks are downstairs for the children. If you need anything, let us know. That's Mark Few's role as an undertaker.
What was the name of the places in your neighborhood?
Gattozzi's and DeSico's.
There's no O'Malley's funeral home?
No, not that I recall.
Probably wouldn't have been a good business decision.
No.
Karen Salover. I graduated with her, and yeah, there were basement parties in that place. It's a little strange, isn't it?
Well, as a kid, you don't think that way. Wherever you can get away, that's where you're going to get away.
If the parents leave you alone?
Yeah.
That's true.
Apparently, a lot of kids were partying, as in college kids, at the Luxor, because that's where in Vegas UConn was supposed to stay. They show up, and I guess according to CT Insider, who covers Connecticut sports, the rooms were described as having dirt, vomit, and I quote.
And worse.
Worse. That was the quote, inside them.
There's only one thing worse, and it's arguable whether it's worse.
If you're a parent, I would think, you would think, that the vomit was worse than the poop.
No doubt. Because you don't know what to do. You panic.
Right. The poop was centralized.
But you also missed it sometimes. You weren't aware it was happening. Oh, do you know the scramble to try to get a kid to a sink or to...
Chris, we were driving.
Although, again, I do tell my wife, I would take that over 19 and 17 every day of the week.
Yeah, that's true.
I'll change diapers and everything else.
And again, as a parent, we've all been there. We were driving for Christmas to Arkansas, and there was an accident on the highway, and Nico was a baby. He was in the back seat. I'm telling you, I was in a fraternity. Mm-hmm. I lived in a fraternity house for 3 years.
Right. You don't have a great stomach yourself?
I've never seen anybody throw up like he threw up.
Interesting.
As a toddler that night. I'll never forget that.
Yeah. It sticks with you.
It looked like a fire hose was attached to him. That's how it was
It looked like a bad sea movie.
Yeah. So we have to pull over, and then Lily's in the backseat. She starts gagging. I mean, we've all been there.
By the way, I've got that reflex myself. I can't see anybody doing that.
So back to the
point. I could watch you take a crap on a lawn. Not going to affect me. Like, you throw up on a lawn.
So you can watch me go like a St. Bernard. Nothing will happen. If I throw up, bad things.
Yes.
But again, I guess the point we're trying to make is that it could be worse.
Yeah, it could be worse. They could make you go see Carrot Top. Thank you, Tom, for that. A guy texted me that.
That's who's performing at the Luxor.
Yeah, it's not Chris Angel anymore.
Right, that's what I was trying to get at. So they moved from the Luxor to the Resorts World, and they're staying in Vegas. I don't know what that is
either. I don't know what Resorts World is.
Is that the former Planet Hollywood?
I'm not sure.
I don't even know.
So they moved going on.
So from Vegas to the Big Apple and the Ultimate Homecoming.
You know what they did? Did they overcome?
Yes, they did.
They overcame.
Marquise Norwell breaks the NCAA record for assists in a game with 19 for K-State. His Twitter handle is Mr. New York City, C-I-T-Y-Y, born and raised in Harlem, puts on a show, 20 points, those 19 assists and five steals, and the alley-oop dunk that he throws, that pass.
One of the best passes ever.
I still think it's a work. It looks like he's arguing with his coach.
Coach says no.
It just can't happen that way. All of a sudden, he doesn't even, like, a nanosecond later, after fighting with his coach, he doesn't even really look. It's Globetrotter-esque, the alley-oop dunk that he throws.
In case you're wondering, too, he scored or assisted on 63 of their 98 points. That's 64%. Most points created by a player in the NCAA tournament since they began tracking in 2010. I gave you the Allen Iverson thing. He went for numbers in the first three games of the tournament that only Allen Iverson as an NBA player or college player achieved any three-game span in their career. So, again, most outstanding player. It's his to lose, as they like to say.
He is certainly well on the way to achieving that goal.
64 points, 42 assists, 11 steals. Last Division I or NBA player to reach all those numbers over any three-game span, Allen Iverson in 2000.
At one point from the left wing, as the shot clock is expiring, he just throws up a prayer that goes in for three.
And I think
he's hobbling down the court with his bad ankle.
Broke his leg.
Tom Izzo said after the game, what are you going to do? They threw in some lucky shots. He may be right about that, but much like Mick Cronin, probably not the time or the place.
I don't know if we have the sound, and maybe it's too late in the show. We got Buster Olney coming up. Are you like me? Well, look, I like Tom Izzo, so I want to deal from the top of the deck. Did it sound like flat-out complaining, or was it a guy surmising a basketball game?
No, it sounded like he was just calling it like he saw it. Those were some lucky plays. But again, I
what's worse, what Izzo did or what Cronin did?
It's tough.
Because it's tough when you're on the losing end. You're trying to say, yeah, but.
Neither one of them were good. Like I said, it wasn't the time nor the place to do either one of those things.
There has to be more of the tip of the cap to the other guys, what you're saying.
Yes, it is the time and the place to talk to a guy in the know when it comes to baseball with the opener 6 days away. Buster Olney from ESPN and ESPN.com will join us next here on a Friday afternoon. It's Domino and Cellini on the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall, a legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation, like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Domino,
Coach Shalini, the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM on a Friday afternoon. As Derek Thomas said, we'll talk to Buster Olney from ESPN momentarily. No surprise, Max Fried is the opening day starter of the Braves, making that announcement today. 6:05, they take on the Red Sox. Tonight, Dylan Dodd gets a shot to once again prove himself worthy to be a part of the parent club. And looking at the lineup, it's Acuna again leading off in right field. It's Olsen batting second again at first. Austin Riley hitting third. Marcelo Zuna getting the start in left field, batting cleanup.
He had a throw the other day that I heard was like a decent throw. So much so that Snit said, yeah, arm's kind of, you know, bouncing back.
We're going to find out this evening. So he's batting fourth again. Michael Harris batting fifth and center. Ozzie Albies again batting sixth at second base. Sean Murphy's the catcher batting seventh. Rosario going to DH, hit eighth. And Arcia, the shortstop, hitting ninth. So it looks like this is pretty much going to be their lineup.
It feels that way. Now, I'm a little bit distracted. Handsome Will Levis, we were just watching him throw footballs at the indoor facility in Kentucky. You know how you do that? Hubbada, hubbada, hubbada. They all just follow around. They're like sheep and lemmings. There's a whole lot of people that are marching up and down the field with him. He's finally now doing what he wanted to do. He actually just spun a football. He's throwing from the 10 down to the 10. So I don't know what everything else was.
Well, he wanted to show off. He said it for a while. The gun. He's doing it right now.
This is his moment. I don't know if he's going to connect on any of them because the camera work of this whole thing is terrible.
Shoddy, to say the least. Anyway.
Yeah, what do I care about the look on his face? Tell me where the football's going.
Let's talk some baseball right now. Friend of the show, Buster Olney, kind enough to join us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Buster, good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. That Braves lineup, top to bottom, pretty dang impressive in terms of depth.
Where would you hit Michael Harris?
That's a great question. You know, that's funny because when you went up and down that lineup, that was the one guy who I looked at and I thought, boy, because of his speed, do you want him hitting in that spot? Do you want him bottled up between, you know, other guys who aren't as fast as he is? Do you want to reduce opportunities? I think that's fine, especially with what we saw, you know, extra base potential last year, hitting a fifth, and given how Olsen is having such an incredible spring. I'm not touching Olsen. Like, I'm leaving Olsen in the spot that he seems most comfortable, and I've always loved the idea of stacking your best hitters at the top of the lineup.
Right, so I know the Ronald Acuna thing is happening again, and maybe that's where he's most comfortable. I'm not calling it a one-trick pony to be able to hit a home run leading off. I still, for the life of me, don't like it. And I'm not telling you that I'm anywhere close to being right, but I don't like it. I don't think he's a leadoff hitter.
Yeah, I'm okay with it because I think he can change the game. And, you know, I wonder if you'd have the same feeling if not for what happened last year when he had so many ups and downs. I think he's going to be more consistent this year. When I was around the Braves, talked to Snitker, talked to the coaching staff, they all talked about how much better he looks physically. They think it's going to be a better season. You know, maybe last year was the year where he was kind of duck out of water hitting the leadoff. This year, I think it's going to be more comfortable. As they say, I really have always believed in the idea that you hit your best guys at the top of the lineup because it increases the likelihood that they're going to get another plate appearance late in the game. And so for me, if you're going to have this lineup and you're going to, you know, give, you know, 3-4 plate appearances to the best guys in your batting order, I want them to go to Ronald Acuna Jr. I want them to go to Matt Olson. I want them to go to Austin Riley.
Buster Olney with us from ESPN on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. I know you talked about the shortstop change, and you said Shoemake could be the future based on some of the people you talked to more so than Grissom. All of that being said, how surprised were you to see them make those two moves, actually three moves in total?
A little bit, because you just had the feeling that they wanted for 2023, they wanted Grissom to be the guy. I actually was working on a story. I talked to Vaughn last week. And, you know, he was very, as always, you guys have gotten a feel for his personality. He's glass half full, positive, taking on work. I watched him, he and Ron Washington go through some drills. And at the end of it, and this is what you hear about Grissom, is that he's very open to feedback, very open to criticism. And Wash was talking with him. In my conversation with Wash, he mentioned, you know, the operative word for him about Grissom playing shortstop was patience. And I, when I heard it, my first thought was, yeah, the only problem with that is that if you're the Braves and you have World Series aspirations, and they should have World Series aspirations, can you live with what you think you're going to get at shortstop, whatever that is? What I was hearing from folks with other teams is they wondered about his range. and whether or not that was going to be an issue. So in the end, they wind up with Arcia. I will tell you that folks with other teams that I've spoke with about this decision, you know, a couple of them have said they feel like that, that the options for the Braves weren't great to begin with, and they thought the Braves would be out the marketplace looking for a shortstop.
We kind of brought this up the other day. Orlando Arcia seems to be the one guy certainly around here that everybody just wants to add 5 years to his birth certificate. People talk about him like he's 33, 34. He's 28 years old.
That's exactly right. He's younger, and I know this from after this came down, reaching out to Braves people, and they talked about, from their perspective, he was good. And quite frankly, so the shortstop position didn't work out the way you wanted to. Since last season, they've added one of the two or three best catchers in baseball in Murphy. I think Michael Harris is going to continue to grow. We've seen Austin Riley. It's like his career you could measure with the side of a pyramid, where it just seems like he gets better every year. Matt Olson, all those doubles he had in the first half of last year, maybe some of those now he's figured out with a swing how to turn them into home runs. Acuna will be more healthy. Maybe it won't matter. Maybe it'll be a situation where they're essentially going to play around whatever deficiencies they have at shortstop. And, I would say that all said, I feel like with the defensive shifts in watching some of these games in person, there's no doubt that the range of individual infielders is going to be tested in a way that we haven't seen in a long time, because a lot of guys with substandard range, it was covered up by the defensive shifts, and that's not going to be available to teams anymore.
Do you think the players, the pitchers especially, and to a certain extent the hitters, have adjusted to the pitch clock?
Not entirely. And a couple of complaints. I think one thing that I hear a lot from staffers is they are concerned about the variability from umpire to umpire when it comes to pitch clock enforcement. We talk about that from time to time when we talk about strike zone interpretation. The perception of some of the staffers, managers, is that you're going to have some of that with the pitch clock as well, where some umpires are going to be more rigid. They think the young umpires, and there are a lot of them in baseball now, will go by the letter of the law. They think some of the older umpires are going to have more flexibility. For example, when the catcher bats last, getting on his equipment, getting out onto the field. And they're worried about that. I've heard from managers that they feel like some umpires are if the buzzer, they feel the buzzer on their arm, some umpires are more inclined to back it up with enforcement than others. And that's not a great situation. I do think eventually the players wind up adjusting to the pitch clock. There have been guys that I've spoken to this spring who, they'll tell you, I'm still not quite comfortable with the pace we have. Pete Alonso is one of those examples of guys. Alec Boehm of the Phillies said, it's a work in progress for me. I think most of the players within a couple months, they'll be fine. But I can guarantee this, there's going to be complaining early in the year, especially by guys who are not performing well.
Yeah, and we'll find out if it's complaining the old-fashioned way, where you face an umpire and complain, or if it's going to be that, I don't want to look at you, but I'm not very happy right now. There's two scenarios that I keep thinking of where human element is going to come in. One of them is going to be the engagement part of it with the hitters. I do think there's going to be, what's the definition of engaged? Well, one guy might be a little bit different than the other. And the other one is, we've seen umpires who I think at times like to hand a baseball to a catcher. That's the great delay. If my pitcher needs a blow, ball goes out of play. If I'm a catcher, I'm asking for it, and I'm holding on to it for a few seconds. I don't know how many umpires are going to hand baseballs to catchers this year.
Well, Chris, it's funny you say that. That's actually when Major League Baseball has done its testing in the minor leagues. The most overt delay tactic that they saw came from the catchers in exactly the scenario that you talked about. And they've, encouraged the umpires, look, police that, clean that up. Make sure that catchers don't do that. You're right. That's one way to go. I had Roger Clemens on my podcast yesterday, taped with him, and he had an interesting idea about weaponizing the pitch clock. We've seen Max Scherzer do some of this stuff in spring training where he's trying to, really mess with the hitter's mind, mess with his tempo. Roger said that if he had an 0-2 count and he was trying to get inside of the head of the hitter, he might just wait out the 15 seconds and take the delay and go to a 1-2 count and really get the hitter wondering, is he going to throw the ball this time? Oh, yeah, is he going to throw a fastball? Is he going to throw a curveball? I think there are some pitchers who will do that. But, you know, I was at a game that Garrett Cole pitched this spring, and he was asked about some gamesmanship with the pitch clock, and he's like, nah, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm just going to pitch the way I've always pitched.
It is going to be fascinating to see how people adjust and how they tweak the rules. No question about that. Buster Olney from ESPN with us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. You also tweeted about Shohei Ohtani and the possibility of $600 million. I've said it. I just can't see Steve Cohen letting him get away.
Well, and I also can't see the Dodgers letting the Mets get him without a huge fight. And if you look at everything the Dodgers did during the course of this offseason, it seemed to be with an eye toward the future of spending big and spending in the upcoming offseason. You know, their moves that they made were very incremental. J.D. Martinez for 1 year. They're getting potentially under the luxury tax threshold this year, resetting. And they'll be in a great position to run at Ohtani. I know they've had conversations with players about that in their organization, people in the front office talking to players about, you know, run at Ohtani. He can't be in a better position if you're a potential free agent. He is one of the top 10 hitters in the world. He's one of the top 10 pitchers in the world. His improvement as the pitcher in the last 2 years has been remarkable. He also is the most marketable player in the world. And he's going to hit free agency at a time where you have the New York Mets with his new owner who's devoted to the idea of winning a World Series. And his hire, his general manager, Billy Epler, was the one who lured Ohtani to the Angels. So Steve Cohen might feel like he has a secret weapon in pursuing Ohtani. And then you have the Dodgers. Knowing Ohtani's impact, having seen it up close just down the freeway in Anaheim, you know, those two teams are going to be involved. You can never rule out the Yankees, the Mariners potentially be involved. Maybe the Giants are involved. I do think it's going to come down to Steve Cohen's money against the Dodgers' money.
The crazy part about it, though, is I can lose on one throw. I can lose the guy, the hitter and the pitcher, for an entirety of a year and have to worry about does he come back. Because I'm not telling you it can't happen to anybody, but if we're going to be in the $60 million range, he blows an elbow or a shoulder, I lose both versions of the guy.
You're right. But he also is the only player in baseball who provides an insurance policy just in his range of skill. Let's say that, you know, he's got a sore shoulder and so he can't pitch. Well, all you have then is a $30 million a year hitter. That's not bad. Who's selling a ton of tickets, right? There's nobody else, for example, Justin Verlander signed with the Mets this spring. If it's an arm problem, that's it. Like, you're not getting any value out of that player. With Ohtani, you have layers of value built into it in a way that no other player does. And I think because of that, because of the fact you're going to have these two monster franchises, I presume will be bidding on him, that's why I think the number's going to get pushed to $60 million a year, $600 million in the contract. It's going to be remarkable, and there's no doubt this year is going to be the year of Ohtani, because we're going to be watching the Angels in the early months of this season wondering if they're going to put him out on the trade market.
I know you saw it when they gave him the MVP the other night in the World Baseball Classic. He's between Rob Manfred and Tony Clark, and I said they were looking at him like they wanted to clone him like he was a sheep. How many more of these guys would they love to have for their business? Because that's the other part of this. It's the business. It's attracting eyeballs. Do you think the World Baseball Classic was such a hit that the pitching for the United States, guys are going to insist that they go if there is such a thing to their teams?
I think there's actually an easy solution to this, because that, you know, Rob said he wants to see more high-end pitchers participate. I actually think when you get down to the quarterfinal rounds, what should be made available to all teams, not just Team U.S., Team USA, is why not allow all 30 teams to be feeders for the respective nation teams? In the way that teams use minor league affiliates. Look, on the same day that WBC was played, Verlander started a game for the Mets and threw 4 1/3 innings. Why wasn't he available for that game? You know? And as opposed to what we're having now, I can tell you at the team level, there's a lot of complaining about how when players are, you know, with their nation teams, the major league teams don't like the communication they're getting. They don't like the email saying, hey, can we pitch this reliever on back-to-back days? Hey, can, this guy, you know, can he, do you mind if we don't start him, meaning that player's behind in innings? Why not just leave the pitchers, not only with Team U.S., but, you know, Team Venezuela, Team Dominican Republic, allow them to keep their pitchers in their camps, and then when they're needed to pitch in a WBC game, get them on a plane, put them in a car, get them on a bus, a team bus, and go down and pitch in the games. I've spoken with three general managers about this idea in the last 24 hours. They say it makes all the sense in the world because it would allow the teams, major league teams, to continue to monitor their own players up to the moment that they're starting in these games.
Makes sense. They're stretched out, the starters, at that point, as you said, with Verlander. Why not do it?
And it falls on a day where you said he's throwing anyway. I like that one. Hey, what's the number on a expansion if it finally, if two teams get added? What do you think the buy-in is? What's the ante?
Oh, boy. In terms of what the cost is going to be, and keep in mind, in a Major League Baseball, the industry is going to take a hit this year with the bankruptcy of the Diamond Group, et cetera. I've had one person tell me it's going to be a $1 billion hit to the industry. So the group of owners, they're going to be looking to recoup some money, and it's a business. And so, yes, there's going to be a ton of value in that. My instinct is that given that it's an expansion franchise, something in the range of $1.5 million, given the Marlins sold for $1.3 million, I think if you start to price it at $2.5 million, it goes, I mean, that's what the Mets were selling for. So my instinct is $1.5 billion. And Nashville, I absolutely believe, and I'm biased because they went to school there, they'll be one of the cities. And then the other one, I think that's more open-ended. I know they would love to have another team to balance out the divisions, and so to have a team out in either the Mountain Time Zone or the West Coast Time Zone, Pacific Time Zone, and that's why I wonder if Portland has an in.
What's the fight? Like, could the Braves, Nashville too close? Because I've always thought New Jersey might actually make sense, but I guess the power of the Mets and the Yankees, could that ever happen? Or even Philadelphia?
Yeah, and I thought about this vis-a-vis Nashville. It's almost like perfectly placed. It's a perfectly placed map dot just far enough away from St. Louis, just far enough away from Cincinnati and Atlanta where, yeah, the territory might belong to the Braves in terms of the baseball map, but I think they could figure that out. And it's pretty clear Nashville has evolved into a major league city. As you guys know, the housing prices, real estate market has skyrocketed there. It would be a great place to drop in a major league team. They would work that out.
Could you do New Jersey?
The question I have is, would it be too close to the Phillies, Mets, Yankees, where you would have a lot of pushback? And maybe even the Orioles. The Orioles might feel like, look, we're already struggling to survive, and now you're going to put another team that's within 2 or 3 hours of us. I see that less likely. And, yeah, I do think the Yankees would fight it.
All right, looking forward to opening night on ESPN, Buster Olney. I know you'll be a part of the coverage, and hopefully we could talk again once the season gets underway. Thanks for the time.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. See you guys.
Buster Olney with us from ESPN on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line here on the Fan 680 and 93.7 FM. We're going to have some fun, Domino. Fun when we come back. We'll get their Sweet 16 thoughts and play some birthdays with Chuck and Chernoff.
More fake bands?
Of course.
More make-believe bands?
Maybe.
Sugar,
just
sugar.
Maybe. Perhaps.
I Think I Love You.
The Archies and the Partridge Family. Certainly we can do that as well.
I made that up.
All of that will follow.
One more thing.
Yes, right.
I don't know. Let me find something.
Don't worry about it. We'll handle it when we come back. It's Domino and Cellini, the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
One more thing!
56. Domino, Cellini wrapping up the week here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Chuck and Chernoff in studio with us as well. We'll play some birthdays and have some fun shortly. But one more thing, as always, brought to you by Oxendine Law. Had enough at home, can't take one more thing? OXLawFirm.com, the place to go.
I don't know how many people pay for education at Princeton. You know, there's financial aid and there's a whole bunch of other things. There's no scholarships, though. I don't know if you guys heard that. There's no scholarships. Do you know what the listed tuition at Princeton is?
I'm bad at this. $80,000 a year.
$95,000.
$79,000 a year.
Cheap.
Look at you.
But once
you
I hit the nail on the
well,
head.
You went over, so you would not have won the Showcase Showdown.
I'm honestly surprised it's not more expensive.
So, Matt, I gave this number earlier. Their endowment is $36 billion. Mm-hmm. If you add up the other 15 teams in the Sweet 16, it's $24 billion total. Which school do you think has the lowest endowment of all the schools that were available in the Sweet 16? I'll give you a hint. They won yesterday.
FAU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got...
FAU is a commuter school that, like, was literally smaller than my thumb.
Still got over $200 million, yeah. $250 million in their endowment. Princeton is $35 billion. The next biggest. Who do you think the next biggest in the Sweet 16 was?
This
is a little
FAU?
Bit surprising.
Texas, the state system of Texas
is
like...
third.
But that's the whole state system. That's like $32 million.
San Diego
State.
No,
they're listed at $5.6 billion. Princeton is 36.
The state system of Texas is monster.
UCLA is a $6 billion school in terms of endowments. Mm-hmm. All right. They do these things where they go, what's the biggest win? My cost. I told you, Princeton's only $1.9 million is what they spend on basketball. So they look at upsets and they go, yeah, but what was the financial? Mm-hmm. And if you get to 8 times, 9 times, and we've gotten to 12 times, St. Peter's last year.
Right.
16 times an opponent. So those things can happen when you get to the ridiculous numbers.
I said I was pretty jealous about all these other places having all these tournament teams. South Florida, who doesn't care about any of this stuff, has 2 teams. You got Coral Gables and Boca involved in the Sweet 16. Now you got Boca going to the Elite Eight.
The Golden Girls watching
right.
The Elite Eight.
And we can't get anybody. I mean, thanks to Kennesaw State for like giving us something. You can't get any Power 5 around here to show up.
Which, again, makes no sense. I know we said it a billion times, but it makes no sense at all.
Frustration.
Yeah. Boca, though, I'd have a hard time concentrating on the schoolwork. I'm not saying it's hard to stay eligible. I don't know if it is or not anymore.
Oh, when nice. Bo Pelini's brother, Carl, was the head coach there, he said his recruiting pitch, he had some success with it, said his recruiting pitch was, you ever been to Boca? And one kid said, yeah, we saved up all year, got 6 days here.
He's like, I can get you here every
5 years.
Yeah,
it's so
years.
Funny
He's
to
like,
me,
that was the whole thing. He said he'd bring Michigan and Pennsylvania and Jersey kids down in February.
Because I grew up going to see my grandparents in Boca. It was the quietest, most boring place, and now it's this spring break.
Happening, man.
Destination?
Can I tell you something?
You know why? Because the as we get older now, we're turning back the clock. Hmm. These ladies are looking for action down
gotcha.
There now.
It's fair.
Right, so the 20-year-old from
Boca del Vista,
the 20-year-old from Milltown, New Jersey, can actually go run around.
Right. Over here, I'll eat the steak off your abs.
But you were going to say something else.
Man, there are 5 other ways.
Yeah. No doubt.
I know. Listen, we're a family show, please.
Matt, I don't even think, though, I'm not kidding. I was down there for a soccer tournament. We went on that campus. Mm-hmm. I don't think they call it Boca. That way, like when
no,
you
no, not
hear
like
Boca,
I did.
Yeah.
So my it was so Jewish that my grandparents lived in a place called Tamarack, which was more Jewish than Boca. Like, and now it's this totally different destination.
Yeah, I
very
think,
jealous.
And West Palm.
Want to dance?
What's that?
You can dance lying
I
down.
I don't know if you're a man or a woman.
Miami Beach was Jackie Gleason and Frank Sinatra. Then it turned into Drug Paradise and then Party Central.
You ever do the cha cha lying down?
Want to come online?
Again, I'm assuming this is a woman that you're doing.
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
I wasn't sure. Not that it matters to me.
Oh,
no,
it doesn't.
He said doll. That's a giveaway. Most guys aren't saying doll, right?
I mean, maybe if you're down there, maybe people are. I don't know. Who knows?
What type of... We say this like when I moved to Atlanta in 93, where's the pizza, where's the bagel? And everybody say, down in Boca.
You got choices.
Good deli?
Yeah.
Like if you do good deli, I'm assuming you can do all right.
Yeah. No, good deli, good bagels. You got a lot of shops. You got a lot of options. The pizza depends on if it's coming from somebody from New York or if it's a local
food. Was Lagerman's? Didn't he turn into a bigger success as
Offerdahl's.
Offerdahl's. That was in Lagerman's.
Offerdahl.
It was some failed edge rusher for Miami.
Yeah, Offerdahl did very well. He's got several spots.
Didn't Lagerman play for the Jets?
He did.
Why I would know that? I have no earthly idea.
When we were down there, we did this boat tour. The captain of the boat was incredible. He knew who owned every famous person that owned a house. Sylvester Stallone bought that when he's redoing it now. And I don't think he was BSing me.
You think that guy went to happy hour later on in the captain regalia?
Oh, captain, my
captain. Oh, no. He wasn't dressed like Meryl Steuben. This guy had shorts and flip-flops on.
When did creepy Robert Loggia become?
It's just, again, the voice that pops into my head. But Chuck, I have no control over how my head works.
On your way back, you pass all the yachts. They have like a yacht dock place.
Careful.
And I'm just telling you that there must be a size minimum to get your boat into these
slips. I have a docking system myself.
I mean, I set you up.
Right, you sure did. You put it on a tee for me.
Creepy Robert Logan.
We talked about this earlier. Alabama in action at 6:30 tonight against San Diego State. Are you buying what Nick Saban is selling? I have no idea.
That guy never says anything. He knows what he said.
When he talked about his player getting in trouble and there being no such thing as being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Knows what he's doing.
This, I think, belies coincidence, does it not?
He also said, I don't know anything and I don't talk about other people. Uh-huh. He talks about other people all
constantly.
The time.
Constantly.
Like, that was the part that I go, I don't care. If you want to play this, I don't know what Nate said. But you can't sometimes say that you don't talk about people.
Sometimes it's passive-aggressively. Sometimes it's just aggressively. He knew what he was saying the other day.
What did he say about Jimbo?
Right.
Like, how do you actually, with a straight face, and by the way, you do get quoted, and then people like us play it. I don't talk about other people because I don't hear or read anything. Except when I talk about him and their game.
He also said, I've never listened to a college basketball press conference in my life. Aren't he and Izzo boys?
Yeah, but you don't need to listen to the entire press conference to know what the quote is.
I know, but I'm saying that, like, just the absurdity of some of the stuff he says sometimes. Like, who can say I worked on a college campus for like 30 years off and on, and I've never listened to a college basketball press conference? Like, just don't go there.
I think he was intimating that he never listened to any press conference, including college football press
conferences. Maybe his own, based on what he's saying now, because he doesn't remember. I would say to Nick Saban or anybody, lean into the stuff more. Have fun with it. Like, it's so... When you mentioned Jimbo, go after him. Jimbo goes back after. None of it matters when they get on the field, and I've told Chuck this all the time. These guys take these pressers so seriously. It's a great way to promote your brand when we can create these him versus you thing. It gives us an extra storyline, and they're all so serious about it. Back in the day, they would take shots at each other blatantly, and we'd love it.
How about when, I can't remember, you would know this, the old Texas coach's name, when he was doing his coach's show, talking about Taco Bell, and Barry Switzer showed up.
Was that Fred Akers?
Yes, Fred Akers was doing the show, and Barry Switzer surprised him by showing up.
That's awesome. To fight him? Or?
Well, no. He made a joke out of the deal. He delivered tacos to Fred
Chalupas.
Akers. I can't remember what the gist of the joke was, but he surprised him, and he came on his coach's show.
It would be the difference between, like, Spurrier and Tuberville and just saying stuff.
Right.
Just for no reason. When, like, nobody was even talking about Tallahassee. And free shoes! Remember Tuberville? You talk about nobody asking you. He would show up a day early at media days to make sure everybody got them some Tommy Tuberville. Then he would be there the next day for Auburn. That doesn't happen any time now. And when it does happen, everybody's got the script. So it's
a shame.
It is so far away from that.
We got all these robots in college football now. It's a shame. We don't have anybody who wants to. That's why Mike Leach will be missed for a million reasons. But the fact that he was so different than everybody else is wonderful.
Well, that's why Lane Kiffin. Because not a lot of guys use social media. PJ Fleck is a guy, you know, it's personality. Now, remember, though, if you're going to be Miss Personality, eventually you do have to win.
Sure, it's got to go with it.
Some guys play it a little bit safer because they just don't necessarily want to have a target.
But that's their problem. My issue is I just have fun with it.
Like, there's one guy. Now, again, you have to win. Do you have to win at Como? Like, if you're Eli, do you really have to win at Missouri, or can you kind of win? Because have you heard some of the stuff Eli Drinkwitz?
Oh, he's great.
After last year's BC game, he's like, well, I'm glad this game is over. For some reason, somebody at Missouri decided to schedule the Boston College game.
The problem is nobody cares about it.
Right.
That's exactly. So do you have to win in football at Missouri, or is it okay to keep up?
Well, I'm going to tell you, Iowa, football and basketball, they would drive me crazy if I rooted for that school. They seem to accept mediocrity. Now, again, I'm not saying
what
thanks,
a personality
coach.
On that Kirk Ferentz.
Well, the other guy's got a personality.
He's got one-liner after one-liner.
Doesn't it make you wonder how you recruit at all when you hear some of these guys?
So, Fran's, think you want to come here?
Anybody from Dubuque.
Fran's got a personality. The problem is it's all kind of crappy.
Yeah.
That's the guy who stares at crowds. He stares at refs. They don't win enough for you to do that. That's that school. I tried to think of the schools that would drive me crazy if I rooted for them. Iowa football and basketball would be, and Tennessee basketball is another one that I just... I'd give up.
I think Rick Barnes is tired. That's part of it.
They don't win. Did you see? They've never gotten out of the Sweet 16 as a top four seed in their last nine attempts going back to 1981.
It's not possible.
Yeah.
It's the last nine best teams you've
possible.
Had. Thank you,
they
Digital Me.
Yep. I got the list.
Other King?
I'm going to show you this. You can have this, Chuck.
Wade Houston had one of those teams somewhere?
Domino, this is evidence you're presenting to Chuck Oliver.
Yeah, but, sir.
Yeah. All of a sudden, it's an episode of Law and Order.
May I approach the bench?
What is today? The 24th of March. Famous Faces celebrating birthdays today.
It's my birthday. God almighty.
Brought to you by D. Geller & Son, Atlanta's most trusted jeweler since 1939. On a personal note, today is my son Tyler's 29th birthday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
When did that happen?
29 years old.
31?
Is he still running around in the woods trying to be
he's not running. He's never running around in the woods.
I thought it was a police officer.
He's not
officer.
Eric Robert
is he
Rudolph.
A hippie?
No.
Doesn't he want to be like a park ranger?
Well, he was thinking about doing that. As of right now, he's still a police officer.
Oh,
I thought it's in suburban Cleveland.
Park ranger was the thing that he was talking about.
Yeah, he wants to do that eventually.
Okay. Do you have to do time in the regular force?
Get a resume? Yeah. I think that's the way it works.
Right.
So he's
just
doing
tell
that
him,
right
careful,
now.
Be careful, man. The woods ain't as friendly as they used to be.
29 years old. Anyway.
Okay, bears out there.
Yeah, that's true. The Undertaker's birthday is today. Mark Calloway. Worth $17 million.
Nice.
Is he 7'4 or something?
No.
6'10.
Yeah, 6'10. He's a big guy. Now, there
basketball
was,
player.
There was a moment where there was a fake Undertaker who came in and filled the role, but that didn't really last.
No, the fake Undertaker took on the real Undertaker. Right. Brian Adams, I think, was not the Brian Adams, the singer.
Now we're way confused.
Is
right
the Big Show different?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
okay.
Paul White. He also played basketball. Played at Wichita State, I think.
Who's the politician in Tennessee?
That's Kane.
His brother. That's a third guy?
Len Jacobs.
Well, there's a lot of guys. I mean,
there's a lot of big guys.
Sure.
Well, there's fewer than there used to be.
Well, other than life.
Yeah. It's hard to
Chris
be big. It's hard to be big and old.
Yeah.
It's hard to be big and old.
Professional wrestlers, there's, you know.
Wow. Yes, Roddy Piper's dead. I mean, still a lot of guys who are dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is he past 60? 64.
He always was older to me when he probably.
70.
Yeah, when he broke in 65.
He's only 58.
Is that all?
Mm-hmm.
60 is the number in the wrestling world.
Yeah, he's not wrestling. 60,
No, I know, but I think you celebrate a little bit more when you live past 60.
Right.
That's a finish line?
Seems to be a number a
and
lot.
And he's done all right for himself, all things considered.
$17
million. So,
wow.
And still around.
And not having to wrestle like some of these other guys
right.
who have to wrestle.
Jim Parsons. Big Bang Theory. It's his birthday today. One of those shows, again, Matt, I don't know anybody that watched.
I never saw one episode of it.
Big Astros fan.
It was the number one show on TV. I never saw an episode.
Have you ever seen Young Sheldon?
No.
Funny.
Yeah.
Really funny show.
My wife watches that show.
Yes.
He is worth $160 million.
Oh, my God.
Whoa, dip.
He's a creator.
You heard me.
Oh, he was there the first meeting?
And they all got paid at the end in a minute. No,
yeah,
not 100.
Sure
syndication
did.
And everything else.
He didn't create that, but Young Sheldon is his thing.
Who else is in that show? Is that Kelly Kowalko? Was she in that one?
Yeah,
she was in Big Bang Theory, yes.
Yeah.
And she's a big, I bet she's making $25 million a year endorsing stuff now.
Gene Smart and Craig T. Nelson are in Young Sheldon.
And
that's
Annie
true?
Potts.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
It's like Annie Potts had a day.
Designing Annie Potts, not Gene Smart. Annie
Potts. Yeah, I was going to say, all right.
I get Gene the designing Smarts women and, mixed up.
Who else?
Dixie Carter.
Reba? Reba.
I don't know.
Who plays Craig T. Nelson's ex-wife in that?
Is it Reba? I don't know. I've just seen bits and pieces of it. Obviously, I got Gene Smart confused with Potts.
You dropped Dixie Carter. Who's the one that was in the HBO First and Ten?
That was
Dixie Carter.
Yeah. No.
Oh, no, you're
Delta Burke.
Delta Burke.
Right,
good call. Yep.
Who's married to Gerald McCraney.
Yes.
Major Dad.
I think still.
Okay. Another show I never saw.
Just walk down the CBS road of sitcoms.
Just old shows.
And remember, First and Ten on HBO, the NFL wouldn't even allow that anymore.
No.
We found out. We can't do those types of shows.
First and Ten was way ahead
there
of its time.
There are partners.
John Matusak also.
That's right.
Before he OD'd on heroin.
OJ before he killed people.
OJ was Tony T.D. Parker.
T.D. Parker.
Anyway, Jim Parsons.
46.
50. 46. He is 50. Peyton Manning's birthday is today.
Let's go, Insurers and Justice. Let's go.
Grill.
Let's go, Insurers and Justice. Let's
$80.
Go. Cut that meat.
Sandwich.
Cut that meat.
$6.
Cut that meat.
That's when we first saw the other side, the humorous side of Peyton Manning.
What a turn that nobody would have ever predicted.
Yep. Does it start with a 4?
Oh, no, it doesn't.
No?
Nope.
What's it start with?
$250 million.
How old is
the chase. That's the game we're playing right now, Chris.
I'm going to say 20 and a half. He's 48 today.
The owner of Omaha Productions.
47.
97. Yeah, 48.
He is 47. Like I said, worth $250 million.
Why is he still working?
Give him something to do,
I guess. He's working. I think he's enjoying himself.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, he's already won.
When you have to show up places on time.
Kind of.
I think this is called drinking from the silver cup. Like he's reached that point where everything is just.
He does that Monday Night Show out of his house.
He just goes down a flight of stairs.
Yeah. It's the silver cup.
Yeah. You know, surprised me in all this. Not to Eli surprised me. Like Eli is good.
I will tell you, his personality was so perfect for New York because everything is it's like water off a duck's back. Nothing bothers him.
Yep.
Nothing. Allison Hannigan's birthday is today.
One time at band camp, we weren't supposed to have pillow fights, but we had a pillow fight, and it was so much fun.
Glad we didn't use the other one.
Do you want to tie it back to CBS?
She was and this one time at band camp,
we
all lost our music, and we were supposed to play this song, but we didn't know it. So we just made it up, and we kept playing and playing, and the conductor didn't know what we were doing, and it was so funny.
Glad we played it.
American Pie.
I got a feeling it's going to be a third one.
She was in How I Met Your Mother.
She was. That's right.
CBS show.
Yep. Worth $40 million.
Is that it?
Wow. She's worth 40?
Those CBS series pay, man.
$40 million.
Again.
And this one time
there we go.
At band camp.
$40 million.
You know what? That line, this one time at band camp, has become like a limerick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fill it in any way you choose. Just,
it's now a member of, the world of pop culture.
And this one time at band camp.
$40 million is great. She's probably happy. How tired do you think she gets when she's walking down the street and somebody yells that? I mean, it's got to be a
$40 million in, I'm okay with it.
I guess. That's
I'm
what
just waving.
Yeah,
I'm just waving.
I took the
I'm going, I remember that.
$40 million. Domino! Every day, right?
Hey.
Nice. Hey, that's right. I'm Domino. $40 million.
Who are those people? Like, you have that one line. You know, there are all those characters that, what you talk about, Willis, I'm sure.
Gary Coleman
heard that constantly. It's like, you can't escape certain things.
He took a lot of things well in the end.
Well,
Gary Coleman.
How about Reggie Miller now? He looks into a camera and screams, where's the beef?
Mm-hmm.
A takeoff on where's the beef?
Right.
Because Wendy's checks clear.
Damn right they
good
do.
For him.
Reggie Bush?
Yeah, they clear.
That's like the best thing on his resume right now is Wendy's.
So how old is...
I've seen his wife.
Allison Hannigan.
He's finding that the problem.
She's always 24.
She's 47.
That would be a miracle if she's always 24. That's a good guess. She's
at
46.
The bank.
She is 49. Steve Ballmer.
Toilets! 1,160 toilets! You're an
He sounds like Matt Foley, the Chris Farley character.
He does, but this is proof that you can buy yourself at a nerd.
Nerds win.
Buy yourself at a nerd.
Nerds always win.
When you're the owner of the Clippers, you're cool. When his whole life he was never, and now he's got enough money, he can buy cool.
$80 billion.
Who's counting? $80
billion?
What is 75 billion?
How does somebody calculate that?
How would you know today what happened? You go check your ATM balance. What do? You keep it on your phone or you...
Well, you can if you have... The world knows that if you have 28% of a company's stock, just look at the stock price.
Right.
They tell you that's your net worth, but that's not really how it works.
I don't have anything that would fluctuate to that point.
Right.
Like, I can tell you my balance was.
That's what I mean, right.
So I got like 2,300 in checking. What do you want?
Just, you have an American Express Black, and you just pay.
I think he's got even a step above that.
Whatever the step. You have that card, and you just
midnight
you pay for
black.
Everything. With the card.
Lionel Richie told a story. Don't play campfire. It's funny. Christmas Eve, he walks into a Mercedes dealership in Montgomery. Sales guy's like 25, doesn't know who the hell he is. Says, I want to buy these 7 Mercedes. And he's like, okay, sir, I'm going to need some ID. He hands him the personal card of the president of Bank of America. Says, call him. My credit's good.
That's a way to do it.
That's better than a gold card or a black card or anything else. It's like, no, here's the president.
I would tell Lionel, the second you drove those off the lot, buddy, you lost value in those
things. By the way, I saw Elvis do it with Cadillacs. How'd that turn out?
Uh-huh. Lionel, show off.
Died on a toilet. That's how that turned out.
Exactly.
He went on the toilet. He was laying by the toilet.
Yeah, again, put him in the bed with 2 hookers and a bag of coke.
Why don't we stage these better?
What?
I'm
serious about that.
You stage these things.
I'm serious about that.
Dying by the toilet?
I am not. I've said that
fecal matter
years.
On the
There's
floor.
No
After
doubt
everything
in my
he
mind.
Did for the Memphis exactly. Mafia, they owed him at least that.
Guy, okay, weekend at Bernie's him. Just
absolutely.
Put him up, sitting up in the bed,
don't
lying down
alive.
In the bed.
He's still alive.
Don't tell us he's
dead.
Right.
Yeah. Believability, though. Guy that age in that shape.
So what?
With cocaine and two hookers?
I'm paying them enough to say, oh, he was so
Correct.
Good right before he died.
Absolutely.
That's what you got to do 100%. If you're Elvis's people. Took care of a lot of people
Hugh
for a
Hefner
long time.
Didn't die on the floor by the toilet. He was in bed with a couple of models.
Steve Ballmer, 67. Tomorrow, Elton John celebrates a birthday. Now we're talking money. $550 million.
And he's given away a couple of hundred million.
Yep.
Yes. Part-time Atlanta resident.
And he had to sue somebody because he was almost broke once.
Once.
Like
right.
Here in Atlanta, he had to sue somebody.
Top to bottom, this album's outstanding to this day.
Yes.
Top to bottom.
Not
yes.
wrong.
Yes.
Has he made
no
his
argument.
Last farewell tour? Or are we going to
no,
do
no,
it again?
No, no, no. It was kind of interrupted by COVID.
But he came back and finished it, right?
He's finishing up in England okay. for a couple of nights. I don't think he's finishing in Wembley.
Okay.
He's finishing in someplace else in England.
Not to be too, like,
this year.
Carlos music snobbish, but it's not even just, it's not just the hits. Gray Seal, Funeral for a Friend, Harmony.
The Harmony's the last song on this album. It's
good Lord,
ridiculous.
The whole thing.
Again, I will sound like the music snob at that time.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He's, he's lived that role. He walks around in that role.
Anyway,
he relishes that role.
Elton one time spent $60 million in a 20-month period.
On?
Including buying over $400,000 worth of flowers.
I've heard that story.
It's code for cocaine.
Do you know what he also used to do? He used to buy, like, million-dollar-plus pieces of art to give to friends, like Rod Stewart or somebody.
He'll tell you, it's a miracle I'm alive.
Oh, surely. Yeah, with what he's done to his body?
Yep.
Absolutely.
It's a miracle.
Yeah, kids.
Right.
Youngish kids.
Mm-hmm.
And now
he punched one of his children in the face.
That's alleged.
I've never heard that story,
Chuck. And David. Isn't it David?
Yeah, David Furnish.
David, yeah. David. And now he describes himself as the most boring guy ever.
God bless him. He's a brace
man. You can be boring. You don't have the, as you like to call it, the FOMO, because
right.
there's nothing, literally nothing you haven't done.
Correct.
Three times over.
Right?
He's done everything
multiple
three times.
Times.
Like
he even got married to a woman.
Yeah,
like
each, exactly.
He's like, all right, I tried it.
There's nothing he hasn't done. Like, on a Tuesday
night. I did that twice.
Yeah.
Well, see, but he decided, you know what? Can try something. Let's go. Let's be crazy here. Let's
gotcha.
Be totally different.
On a random Tuesday night, he had more fun than 95% of the population.
Yes. Fun or experience stuff than
95%? No, no, no.
Yes.
All of it. All of it.
All of the above.
All of it. There was somebody, I think Super 70 Sports might have put it, there was a magazine cover where it says, it's like 1980 or 79. Elton John has given up the glasses, crazy costumes, and everything else. I just saw the guy.
Yeah.
There's still some crazy glasses and costumes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as crazy.
Good for him for getting it early, the way to dress up an image and do all that
right
stuff.
About
and,
that.
I'm
going to
wear a Donald Duck costume
on
stage.
Are you asking how old he is?
Yes, that's what I'm asking.
Oh, sorry.
He's 72.
How old is he? I was going to say, is he getting close to 80, 76?
74.
He is 76. And Sarah Jessica Parker's birthday is today. She's worth $200 million.
No, she's not. They are.
I was thinking about using the scene from Footloose when she says, no fighting Willard,
right.
Christopher Penn, but then I didn't want to be a movie snob.
That's not a movie snob.
Sex and City.
No, that's Footloose. You can go with that. You could have gone Honeymoon in Vegas.
Or at the pool, Honeymoon in Vegas.
Flight of the Navigator. I don't understand her.
Great call, Flight of the Navigator.
Do you remember, sure enough, when we were at Yankee Stadium, we walked right past her. Was I the only one that saw her?
I remember. I mean,
right past her.
She was
going to our seats. Yeah, tiny.
Yeah.
He's a Met fan, though, right?
Is he?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know that.
It's too bad. I think Matthew Broderick's a Met fan. I wish better for him.
She had a day, though. In Honeymoon in Vegas, she looked great.
Uh-huh.
I never saw it in Sex and the City as much.
I just think this show, in my mind, it's not the only thing she's done. I know that. But this show annoyed me, and I didn't
well,
even
I
watch
it. I didn't think
watch
that
it.
You were their target audience.
Oh, is that what it was?
This was like Bravo.
So like
for
John
me.
Wick might annoy her.
Yeah, this was like Bravo and their shows for
okay.
me. I was in the room when it
right.
was on. So,
right.
so you're in the room a lot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is my bedroom. I mean, I got to lay down.
No.
The $200 million is actually an underestimate. She made $147 million. For the final three seasons of Sex and the City.
HBO paid that
what?
Before
they?
Making two movies for
them. Oh my
God.
I didn't realize HBO could throw that kind of coin around.
She made $3.2 million per episode starting in season four.
Maybe I heard that subconsciously.
Maybe.
What is Broderick worth?
Not that money.
I guess not.
I will respect on her name.
So
I didn't know she was
she?
Bringing down $50 million a year. She's
52.
But no, she was on Square Pegs, and she was she's 55.
How does HBO make that up? Charging with the math not adding up here.
Incidentally, speaking of HBO, Succession is back on Sunday.
Sunday night.
They did say, I saw an interview with Brian Cox. He said, oh, we're going to get into it this year.
Final season.
He said there's some funny. I guess it's going to be so over the top at some point.
That show's wonderful, the way they can give you the funny in the middle of the I hate all of you.
The children have to win, right?
Why?
I don't think anybody wins.
That's a good point. But the construct of the show, if they win, how does that?
They should be on a private jet.
I don't know if you know this.
There's your ending.
The father and all the kids are going to be sitting in a diner, and it's just going to go black.
It is HBO.
I'm going to have to figure out nobody who won.
Yeah. Sarah Jessica Parker's 58 years old. And with that, we bid you adieu. Want to thank Peter King and Buster Olney.
DeVito's got to go.
For joining us today. Hoyt and Dan Matthews and Brandon Joseph and Justin the intern and Derek Thomas and Matt Lear and Adam Gillespie. Thank you all. Enjoy your weekend.
You believe in a little bit of prayer?
Sure, why not?
Yeah, throw one up today. I got a kid who's playing goalie today. I'm not going to.
Look at you.
I got to be so far away from everybody
else.
She's
playing goalie against a really good team.
Yeah.
Let's hope she comes out in one piece.
She's a netminder.
Let's hope her fullbacks do their job. How about that?
Oh, wow. Look at that. How about worry about you? No, tell her to worry about her. Do your job.
You think God's got time to help out with that, Domino?
I said pray. I didn't say God. Whoever it is.
He didn't say his God was a petty God and cared about the outcome of a game. He
said if you are prone, if there's anybody you'd like to throw one up to.
The old adage is it never hurts to ask. Yeah. Enjoy your weekend.
The answer
we'll
might
talk
be
to you.
No.
Maybe, but wow. It might be yes. We'll talk to you Monday at 11. Domino Cellini, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
The warm air, the sounds of baseball, it's got you thinking about hitting the road. And no matter where your adventures take you, Subaru of Gwinnett has a vehicle to get you there safely and in style. Like the 2024 Subaru Outback, sporting standard symmetrical all-wheel drive and up to 32 miles per gallon. Or the 2024 Subaru Forester, the SUV with a spacious and comfortable interior for everyone you want to bring along. Start your shopping online at SubaruofGwinnett.com, then come see us for a test drive on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth.
Spring is here and baseball is back. You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.